Okay. A very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the first day of the year 2018. It's a very auspicious day. And we are indeed very grateful to Mei Xiang, Wei Hong and family for inviting us all over to their New Year house dana. So as you have seen, a lot of nice food, very cozy place with a lot of Buddhist teaching around, and a lot of Chinese culture around too. And before I continue, I'd like to wish everybody a very happy and good New Year. May your good and noble wishes come true with this beginning of 2018 New Year. And this is a New Year where most people, like Wei Hong say, you make new aspirations, you make new resolution. So I was at the back with Mei Xiang and some of the Karimita earlier. Then I saw on the wall, wow, a lot of fantastic poster and beautiful writing. I said, Mei Xiang, wow, these are all your glory board. He said, no, these are my mission. I want to realize all them. I thought you have already realized most of them. He said, no. Then I saw one, happy. Oh, after the word happy, down there, I got 5-6 items now. Oh, happy family, happy career, work, then happy spiritual journey. Then I say, anything not happy one? Oh, I say, God, after he will tell me. Now pass the mic. Where is the mic? In front of you, Mesa. Then he say, one happy family. Wow. Then he is the nature's greatest gift. Oh, this type of title there. This one is not happy, so who bully you?
Nature.
So the sun bully you, nature, because you cannot tahan the sun. hot spring. So these are good signs, at least you can still laugh, can still have joy. So these are happy moments. These are not unhappy moments. Then just now I heard Wei Hong say, Wendy was talking to him. He said, we Wednesday go for a walk. Wei Hong said, cannot. After I walk tired, I cannot work. I go sleepy, my boss call me. Then Wendy said, your boss? Your boss is your wife? He said, yeah, my boss call me. So very, very disciplined type of boss. Husband also do the same. But in life, most important thing is to have wisdom. When you have wisdom, you will have love. When you have love, you will have joy, happiness. Everything will come. So most important is to develop wisdom, understanding. So today been a very auspicious day, the beginning of 2018, the first day of the New Year. So let us welcome 2018 with a beautiful mind, so that our world can be a better world, so that humanity can have better future. So I saw some of the very interesting New Year speeches. One of them was Xi Jinping, China's. Is he the president? He's the president. Oh, his speech was very good. You go and listen. He thinks of everybody. He wants to make sure the government is there for the people, and look after all aspects of people's welfare and well-being. And he vowed to eradicate poverty completely in China by the year 2020. And he vowed to be the international leader to lead the world into peace, harmony, means win-win situation in all aspects of development. Then the care of environment, environmental protection, environmental care means development is been done with all this in mind. Then the vision that he had for the world is very good. That's why his project, One Belt, One Road. One Belt, One Road, yeah, Itai Lu. He said this will bring forth the continuous planned development for the world through consensus, through understanding, through having this, what they call, sincerity, to bring about a better world, a better environment for our future generation and all those things. So with this in mind, when we have good mind, good heart, we contribute towards the world, happiness, peacefulness, and even our own well-being, and the well-being of all. So Dhamma is a perfect medicine for you to achieve and realize all this. Then without delay, today, we will start off with the offering of house dana. But before that, we will do the simple puja. The chanting book is with you, isn't it? Can I have a copy? Let us develop our mind, compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja. Do you realize she got a very good author? she got the Buddha Rupa, the Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Then we got the Diamond Sutra on the left hand side, the Heart Sutra, Sing Ching. And I saw the ancestor portrait. I saw Zhang Men, wow, Kaki Nang. So my family also Tio Zhang. So Zhang Men, same as my ancestor worships Ruud. Then I asked Wai Hong, I said, you also Zhang? Oh, he said the Gong Zi Pang the Zhang. Oh, same. Then he thought I Tio Chiu or Hokkien. I said, no, I Hakka. Oh, he said he also Hakka. So small one, huh? So, okay, before we commence our salutation, we let Wai Hong and family to nominate whoever you want to light the candle and the incense. Then after that, we can commence the your mom, Queen A, you are given the great honor. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I think got more than one in there, Wai Hong and... got a lot up there. I saw minimum three. So the three of you go, triple gem you represent. That one is Kuan Yin's, the two that's supported Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, sadhu, 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 sadhu. We can do the chanting first, then after that we make the offering. Okay, let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadhya, virya. Then we shall mindfully proceed with the chanting. Then as you can see, there are a lot of fruits offering, which can also represent many things, the fruition of your cultivation. The fruition of karma. So both are very important reminder to cultivation. Friction of your hard work is very good. You become enlightened. Friction of your karma depends on what you do. So if you don't take care of karma, that friction can bring about problem. So these are very good offering item that can bring to mind a lot of Dhamma understanding. Okay, we will chant the salutation. Arahaṃ sammāsambuddho bhagavā Buddhaṃ bhagavantaṃ abhivādemi. Svākāto bhagavata dhammo dhammaṃ namassāmi. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated, then we will chant the Dandana. Turn to page 1. Alicia is here. Yeah. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pāmatipātā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Adina dana vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Surāmeraya majjhapamādatthāna vīramaṇī sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Now we will chant the Patipa Puja, offering of light. Turn to page 3. Ganna sarapa dittena dittena tamadang sita tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambara yutena dopena hang sugang hina. Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana mutamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin jami munindas siri pada sarorohe. Pujayami buddhaṃ kasumena nena punnena เทนะเชโหตุโมกขังปุปังมิลายติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายติวินัสสภาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตปาเลปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังอาดิวาเสตุโนบันเตโบจานังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกันหาตุมุตตมังOkay, now we will make the puja aspiration, based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein.Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense.Which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers.May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration.By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Saddha, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or power, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception.Especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jaya. Batang Pujem. Damang Pujem.สังฆังปุจเจน Okay, for those who came in later, we are going to make the offering by rejoicing so that we can save time. We don't pass the thing around. We will offer the altar table, then the food inside. Then you can have your meal. So what time?You want to maybe schedule a time for you to end your makan. 1 hour, enough? 1 o'clock, I think 1 o'clock should be okay. If you cannot make it, then 1:10 also should be okay. Then just as a reminder, these are the new books lesson 2 and 3 of the Six Patriarch Sutta. If you haven't collected your copy, you can collect them here. Huh? You can bring it back for your other friends or Kayamita too, huh? If they are interested. Then huh? There's also one book here. Important meditation instruction needed to understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So this one is an old book, but it's very useful. If you are interested in meditation, you should have a copy of this, because it points to you the important instruction for you to understand, to develop the meditation. Then today, maybe others, if there is no question or what, I will share some of the lesson 46 sharing, Six Patriarch Sutta. This book is very important, lesson 46. A lot of very important practice and Dhamma are inside there. So now let us together rise, then we will make the offering together. Come together, well, then you all step behind, just step behind, or some come forward too, one, two, three, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we make this offering not only to Triple Gem, but also to the ancestor and all beings who can receive them. We go to the back. This one is a very big table, so no problem. Come, come, all gather, then together we offer. So this was the war of honor that I mentioned just now. Okay, together we shall rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we should also thank all those who help prepare all this food, especially the host, Mei Xiang Wai Hong and family, together with Queenie Liao, then all Kayamita who has helped out. They say the camera must eat first. Then what is the Mickey Mouse there for? Oh, Happy Mouse. Oh, okay. Ah, I got. Okay. So you all can have your food, So we meet at 1. Oh, heaven, Let's all together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, today very cute, First time I have Mickey Mouse cake for New Year. Layer cake. Ah, yeah, take your picture. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, come. Okay, together we shall welcome the new year. We shall welcome the new year. Take one group picture. Come. So let us. No problem. Okay, come. Yun Chan next to me. No, my wife and you come. You are the original one. Oh, very good, he can do a selfie, really. Yeah. Like that better. Okay. Sadhu. You should put 10. Should put, okay. Okay. Like countdown, okay, sadhu.
那个不是还是那三个菜。
Bertil, it's on, eh? Ah, okay. Okay, very good afternoon to all, eh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. We have just finished our Dana lunch, so we will continue with our second session, which is the sharing of the Buddha Dhamma on such an auspicious day, 1st of January 2018, and we will kickstart the new year with a new Dhamma sharing format. So today, what topic you all want me to speak on, you can suggest. If you don't have, later I may share something from this lesson 46 of the Six Patria Platform Sutta. Anybody got anything? The mic is there. Yeah. Oh, why you point to Wai Hong? Oh. She very good. This is what they call delegate your duty. Empowerment, better word. You empower him to ask. Now, if Wai Hong don't have, then we will maybe proceed to share this book, the transcript book. Based on our lesson 46 of the Six Patria Platform Sutta. So this is the transcript that was done, I think printed on the 31st of August 2017, but the sharing was given on the 14th of May 2017. So you turn to page 46 or so, lesson 46, page 46. 3.22 in the middle. Meditation reporting and Q&A. So this particular section is very interesting, and hopefully with the resharing you all can develop better understanding. I will read to you. For those who have the book, you can also turn to page 46, 3.2.2, and we will together discuss it. Now we will have the meditation reporting session. You can raise your hand to ask any meditation question or report your meditation, and I will help you to develop the understanding. Then Sister Mindy, she asked, "Bratio, I understand that during my daily practice, I just need to silence my mind. What do you all think? What do you all think of this comment? You must try to develop the understanding and answer. I will repeat, Bratio, I understand that during my daily practice, I just need to silence my mind. What is your understanding? Do you have anything to comment? Or you agree with what is spoken. Very simple, isn't it? What is meditation? What are you doing? So she is in a way correct. But how to do it if I don't explain, people still find it difficult because you may interpret differently. Silent means what? Silent means don't verbalize, don't chatter, don't talk. And unless you're able to understand it this way clearly, then you don't understand what is silent. Sometimes you may think, oh, silent means I don't talk. So like in the retreat, they put their hand in front of their mouth. They call that noble silence. No? What do you think? To me, that is not noble silence. That is don't talk. Understand? Don't talk doesn't mean your heedless thinking mind inside doesn't chatter, doesn't verbalize, doesn't do all the heedless thinking. Noble silence means not only you don't talk, you don't even verbalize or chatter. You didn't even arise any thought process. And that is the true silence. Then I answer her, I say, yes, just relax, maintain silence, then just aware and let whatever happens arise. So that is the third way of overcoming unwholesome thought, which is one of the five ways taught by the Buddha to develop the meditation and the wholesome mind. Then I say the awareness will understand on its own. Then Sister Mindy continue. He said, how can I contemplate more on the 12 link of the law of dependent origination? So she heard about the Patijasamupada, the 12 link. She wants to cultivate it. Then before she cultivates, she wants to develop the understanding of it. That's why she asked this question, how can I contemplate more on the 12 link? So this is a very good question. This question can only come from people who already tried, but they need more detail and explanation. Then I answer her very simply, but in quite detail. I say, you should come out of the formal meditation, then only you do the contemplation. Because most cultivators are not at that level of stability of mindfulness to do contemplation while during meditation. Very unlikely. So that's why I told her, you should come out of the formal meditation, then only you do the contemplation. You don't contemplate during the meditation itself. When you are doing the meditation, if you try to contemplate, you will cause the thought to arise. See, contemplation means you inquire, you throw out the inquiry, means it involves thought. Then you recollect to mind. Then through that attentive mind, you reflect, you contemplate, then you develop the understanding. Unless you can meditate or develop the stability of silence. Oh, sorry, there is another sentence. When you are doing the meditation, you try to contemplate, you will cause the thought to arise. Then there is this sentence. This is where a lot of cultivators fail to understand. All those who do thought-based meditation, they will know, they will verbalize, then they will keep on stirring the mind, arising the thought. When you are meditating, you just relax and maintain silence. Unless you can develop the stability of silence until it is so stable and so clear, such that when something happens during meditation, you can reflect on it and contemplate on it to develop the understanding. But while you are in a formal meditation, try not to do it. When you do it, you are not in a meditative state anymore, because that is the active mode of contemplation. That one you should only do when you are out of the formal meditation. Let's say you go for a walking meditation. Just relax and be in the silent awareness. Then you stop somewhere, like while in the Cameron Highland retreat. You can either walk down towards the staircase or go out to the monastery's vicinity. You can also walk up to the hilltop or any place that is quiet, and you can just look at nature. Then whatever you arise from within your nature, you just reflect and contemplate. If you want to go through the four noble truths, the first noble truth, the first turning, you contemplate and reflect. Then sometimes you can also sit on a bench somewhere quiet. And during that time, you can silence your mind and just contemplate. When you contemplate, you just throw up the inquiry. Whatever you want to understand, like in her case, it's the 12 link dependent origination. Or the first noble truth of dukkha. Why did the Buddha say birth, old age, sickness and death are suffering? Separation from loved one, prized possession and all the things that we hold on to dearly is also suffering. To be with people whom we don't like. It's also suffering. When we can't get what we want, when things don't go our way, when our expectations in life are not met, also lead to suffering. Then in short, the final summary. All this you can reflect and contemplate. It depends on which one you choose, like birth. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then you can recollect or recall to mind via mindfulness. Mindfully recollecting what the birth process is like. You cannot recall your own birth because you were too young. Then as a mother, you can recall how you give birth to a child. Then before you give birth, what other things you experience during the conceiving and confinement stages? Then as you reflect and contemplate, this reflection and contemplation will give rise to an understanding. They call this the recollection phase. Or in Pali is called Chintamaya Panya. Wisdom born of reflection and contemplation. As you recollect, you mindfully go through the birth process. Then all of a sudden you can recall during that time you had a lot of pain, morning sickness, vomiting and other side effects of pregnancy. Then sometimes you have to see the doctor, you have to go for follow-up. As the pregnancy developed, as the baby or the fetus grow, it started to kick you and give you a lot of other discomfort. Your movement becomes affected as the baby grows, as your womb develops and expands, etc. You recollect all the stages leading to the birth itself. Whatever you can recollect via memory can help you develop the understanding. Then all of a sudden you will understand. No wonder the Buddha said birth is suffering, because there is so much suffering that comes with birth. After the baby is born, the baby will experience old age, sickness and death. And this will also lead to suffering. This is the reality. This is the Dhamma. Then as the baby is born, there is attachment to this baby. The mother, the parent, the grandparent and those who have relationship with the child. Then if anything were to happen to the child, the parents and their loved one will worry for them. And there is attachment leading to suffering. Then when there are complications during the birth process, it will lead to more suffering. All this will stop. You will start to understand. Then you will reflect deeper and further on why the Buddha said this suffering is to be understood under the second turning of the first noble truth. The first turning of the first noble truth is just the proclamation of truth by the Buddha. Then the second turning inquiry should be, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? If you have gone through this reflection and contemplation, you will understand why. If you don't reflect and contemplate, you cannot develop the understanding. You cannot understand the birth process. And you cannot understand how it brings about suffering. Then why suffering is to be understood? You have to inquire deeply why the Buddha said that. If you don't understand what suffering is, it means when you are caught in suffering, you still don't know that that is suffering. Because you cannot see the attachment, you cannot see how the outcome of birth leads to all this type of suffering. As you reflect and contemplate via the second turning, you will develop the understanding to confirm what the Buddha said is true, is indeed very true. Birth is indeed suffering because birth is part of the human condition. For the physical form go the way of nature. You will then come to understand another reality, that this birth, old age, sickness and death are the realities of life and existence. And each and every living being has to experience and confront this reality when the times come. If you live long enough, you have the condition to confront them. And you confront them without wisdom, you will attach, you will cling, you will grasp. And you will develop the suffering, which is the fear, worry, anxiety. And then you will understand how the mind gets itself entangled that way. The cause of suffering is attachment, clinging, grasping, thinking that this child belongs to you, the ego, the atta, etc. In reality, it's only a form and mind like yours. The form goes the way of nature because it's made out of the four elements. The four elements are the physical element of patavi or solidity, vayu, which is the wind element, like your breath, your pulse of life and whatever vibration is within your body. Then you have the heat element, which is tejo. Then we have the water element, which is apo. Then you realize that the four elements are part of nature and their states will fluctuate and they are interchangeable. When you have excessive heat, you will have fever and you will have problems. When you have too little heat, you will be affected by the weather. The external factor, because of the climate. When the weather is very cold, very chilly, it will cause your temperature to drop and you will feel the instability within the elements. This will lead to suffering in the form, and the consciousness that is trapped inside will experience all this. Then without the consciousness, without attachment, you will realize that the elements just go the way of nature. That's why when they cultivate Kaya Nupassana, the last category of practice, which is the nine stages of cemetery decomposition. When the form is devoid of consciousness, when the consciousness has come out, then this body's four elements, which goes the way of nature, will decay. Then there is no more feeling, no more perception, no more mental activity and mental states of consciousness. That's why you cannot feel anything. There is no suffering, where there is no more mind to develop the attachment and the suffering. You understand without the mind there is nothing. Then you move on to the understanding of the mind. You can then check, is feeling really me? Are perception really me? Are the mental states or mental activity or thought process or whatever, sankara that arise, really me? Because when they arise and pass away, did you die? The nature never dies. So how can they be you? They arise and pass away because they are conditioned arising Dhamma, hence impermanent and not you. If you attach and cling to feeling, to perception, to mental states, views, opinion and your conditioning, you will suffer. Even when you are attached to consciousness, you will also suffer. Then you will come to realize that the final summary as proclaimed by the Buddha is so true. It's attachment that conditions suffering. So this part is on contemplation. Then you can move into the other realities of the first noble truth, second noble truth, third noble truth, and the fourth noble truth. Again, you can go for the first turning, second turning, which is the contemplation, and the third turning, which is the meditation, Just when you really meditate, the wisdom that arises is bhavana, mayapanya, wisdom born of bhavana, the meditative discipline. So wisdom born of bhavana, which is the meditative training or the meditation itself, can develop wisdom. It doesn't involve the thought or any contemplation. It's just the silent mind that is aware. As I hold on meditation, it's just silent mind that is aware. It will awaken to the universal characteristics of all phenomena. That's why you must be aware of the four foundations of mindfulness. The first foundation is kaya nupassana, which you first train your mind to be mindful via anapanasati. And after that, you are ready to move on to cultivate the mindfulness of the four bodily postures, followed by the mindfulness of all your movements, action and movement in the present moment. And that is the daily mindfulness, or mindfulness and clear comprehension cultivation. When you develop this, you are cultivating the third turning. You are insight into the phenomena, the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and non-self, or empty nature. When you have the initial understanding, then you will start to have an understanding of why the Buddha said the five aggregates of form and mind are impermanent, leading to suffering. Hence, they are empty, not me, non-self. That is the beginning of the cultivation of no mark of a self-cultivating. If you don't even exist, how can others exist? That's why no mark of others, and no mark of your loved ones, and all those things. Then there is no reality, no mark of a life. Everything is dependent originating, condition arising, and it's just a causal phenomenon. A phenomenal world of consciousness, mind make a day, hence no reality. Then when this understanding deepens as you silence your mind to awaken to the universal characteristic, you will become different. After that, you can reflect and contemplate until you understand very clearly and your understanding become very stable. Then in the midst of your daily life, as you continue to be silent, aware and mindful, so these are the three keywords, silent, aware and mindful, all of a sudden, one day, you will come upon an insight that will allow you to understand deeply and clearly the three universal characteristics. Means your silent mind insight into the phenomenal world. Yeah. That is, all of a sudden, you will awaken to these three universal characteristics. Because everything is just the way it is. All phenomena, be they physical, mental, or nature's phenomena, exhibit the same characteristic. Then you will start to understand that truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. The universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or empty nature, characteristics are everywhere. This is the truth, the reality, which is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, the enlightened ones, they always see. That is the final awakening leading to liberation of mind from all suffering or bondage. When you have the understanding after the awakening, it means your mindfulness is already very stable. Then in the midst of life and nature, the characteristics of nature are everywhere, so clear, so vivid and so beautiful. And that will allow you to further develop the contemplative wisdom until this understanding becomes very stable. Then there is no more doubt. That's how you become enlightened. That's how you liberate your mind. When there is no more doubt, you would have at least cleared the first stage of sainthood, which means the first three fetters that bind living beings to this world are already severed. There are a total of 10 fetters. The first fetter is self-delusion. The second is rite and ritual. You would not believe in all this anymore because you have understood that there is no permanent unchanging entity within the form and mind that we can call this is me, this is I, and therefore all this can be mine. Then even if people were to tell you After you die, you will become what and what. You will know that there is no such thing. Because this is only a form of mind, hence not me and no reality. This form of mind is never me, because there is no more self-delusion. You wouldn't believe in right and ritual, and you will not be gullible anymore. Then the third factor is your faith in the teaching, the triple gem, the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. It will become unshakable, because by then the understanding is already so clear. Nature's law, the existential law, and all of the universal order, five universal order, will also become very clear. That's why you will have no more doubt, and your faith will be unshakable. We are at page 54, second paragraph. And you will come to understand that the triple gem with the teaching of the Four Noble Truths is the secret of life. You will understand them. You will have no more doubt in this teaching. But it's all about truth, the Noble Truth. This Four Noble Truths is a universal truth. Because the moment you understand them, you can become enlightened. It's like the secret of life. When you understand the secret of life, you will know how to live life. And then you will not be deluded and deceived or deceived by the form of mind anymore. Because you know this is not you, but only a karmically conditioned form of mind or vehicle and tool for you to come to this existential world. Likewise, all other living beings are the same. For everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, and a causal phenomenon. All this will become very clear to you. So when you meditate during formal meditation, don't contemplate. But when you come out of it, you can contemplate. Sometimes, like what I said, if within that silent formal meditation, all of a sudden something happened, then you can decide to come out of it to reflect and contemplate on it. If that is the case, even while in the meditative state, you can also reflect and contemplate, provided you can do it mindfully, then no problem. But you have to be very clear about the conscious decision that you have made, and you can be mindful of what you are doing. If you decide to contemplate, then you are not meditating. You reflect and contemplate to develop a deeper understanding of what has happened. But the thing you want to contemplate must be from the Four Noble Truths. Because the contemplation is about the second turning of the first, second, third, or fourth Noble Truths. These are the cultivation processes. So don't worry. Yeah? So that is the part on contemplation of the 12 links. And also on the daily mindfulness, the practice, how to develop the mind to be mindful, stabilize it, and use that meditative mind to meditate. When you are in the form of meditation, you just relax, be silent, and maintain awareness of body and mind. Formal meditation is to train the heedless thinking mind until it's very quiet to realize the silent mind. So this is what meditation is all about. You train in the form of meditation and stabilize it so that you can have this ability to be mindful in the midst of life. So that this silent mind can be a part of your nature. Then to make it very stable. Then when you come out of it, all this movement, your mindfulness, your awareness is like magnified. You can experience this means you have developed the ability to be mindful. Means your mind has entered sati. Then the slightest movement is like magnified into very big movement. Even the subtle breathing will become very clear to you again. When your mindfulness has become very stable, and when it has become a part of you, it means your mind has entered sati. Your mind is already in sati. This stability of mindfulness denotes that your three spiritual faculties of sati has been stabilized. Your third spiritual faculty or sati has been stabilized and established. And when the mind is in sati, even when you come out of the form of meditation, That mind is always aware of all the movements and activity. It's very clear. Then all these movements will be like magnified. Even when you see the subtle breathing and movement are like magnified, you are very calm, peaceful, and very still. Because your paucity, which is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind, is already established and always there. So this is what you have to do, to train the mind until it's so stable. Then only you can stand a chance to be mindful in the midst of life. As you come out of the meditation and go into life, you will come to realize that every moment of hearing, you are in sati. Every contact, the moment of smell, taste, tactile, you are also very mindful and always in sati. At every moment of seeing, the mind is in sati. That's why you can see things as they are. The specific phenomenal awareness and the spacious awareness without a center has become a part of your nature because of that stability of mindfulness. When your mind is in sati, everything you do in life, you are aware. So you don't have to learn to be aware. You only need to train until it is very stable and until the stability has become part of your nature, which means mindfulness has been developed and stabilized until your mind has entered sati. So not until your mind has entered sati, your daily mindfulness is impossible. That's why this training is very important. Continuous stability of mindfulness. Then when the mind enters sati, technically you no longer need an object of meditation. You don't need to train the mind anymore, because this mind is already trained. That's why it is always aware, mindful. It's just like playing badminton or learning how to cook or running, swimming or any other game that you are good at. If you train until you are so skillful, you don't need to train anymore because it has become a part of you. And you just know how to execute it, and it's always spontaneous without thought. It has become so graceful, so easy, just like the case of badminton. You will know how to return the shot naturally. The only thing lacking is whether you have the stamina to do it or not. But with mindfulness, it doesn't need that much stamina. The moment you are silent without thought, you are already aware. The mindfulness, when developed continuously, will become powers. It has the ability to develop wisdom and understanding. And mindfulness will develop a very strong mind state that is very different, because this mind is just aware. It can insight into phenomena and understand many things. It can see things as they are. It can give rise to wisdom. Then mindfulness by itself has nothing inside there. This one is for those who already meditated, have the ability to develop the stability of mindfulness. I read the sentence. Mindfulness by itself has nothing inside there. Means that true mind, which is just aware, it's not a person, it's not you aware, it's just awareness. Because that one, no words, no concept, no idea. And that nature cannot come out and live life, it's not a being. But connected to the form and mind, this true mind, or true nature, can insight into phenomena, awaken, and give rise to the wisdom. So this part, most people don't understand. So now I reread, you listen attentively. Mindfulness by itself has nothing inside there. It is just an awareness state that arises when the mundane mind does not stir. Means when you don't think, don't chatter, don't verbalize, don't do anything. Your nature is already in the state of sati, aware. When there is no interference from your thought process, these are very important. So all this, as you go through your cultivation, you will start to understand. But to understand until the stability, until that stability where you can share and teach, is not easy. That's why for most of the Kayamita who has control, they know, but they cannot share, cannot teach. But this one is not stable yet. So when I say interference from the thought process, it means your brain, which is the accumulation of your whatever experiences, good and bad, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your religious labor, your tradition, your fear, your phobia, your scars of memory, your selfishness, your evil root, they are all accumulated in your brain. So when you act according to memory, that's why Krishnamurti says you're not acting at all, because you are creating all this interference from your memory. So when you interfere, it means you act according to your fear, your delusion, your insecurity, your views and opinion, your condition. That's how your mind stirs. You should instead act according to wisdom, right understanding. So this is the part where most people fail to understand. Then I did say, it takes a while. But to understand until the stability where you can share and teach is not easy, it will take a while. So don't worry. Initially, after you have connected and awakened, it's like you still don't know anything. But you may try to remember what you have understood. But don't do that. Don't try to remember anything. The moment you are awakened, the understanding is already there, connected to the form and mind. It won't disappear, unless the form and mind die. When it's there, every time you encounter something, the understanding will manifest. It will know what to do. It's not knowledge anymore. It's not from memory. It just understands by itself. Then I say, okay. Sadhu to you for arising such good condition for me to share all this rather beautiful teaching. So these are for cultivator who has done it, very serious. And this is very good understanding. Does anybody else want to report your meditation so that I can advise you on how to develop it further? Then I ask, where is Brother Jin Hao? Has he gone back? He texted me a question from Sister Sandra. Sandra Chan of Singapore, Brother Chia's wife. And Sandra would like to her question answered in the class. So the rest you can read about it. That one is more on how to solve the office problem. Because Sister Sandra got some issue with the one of the office staff. Because the management want her to take action against this particular staff which is not performing. So that part you also can learn if you want to understand it further. You can read that part. So this part on meditation, I felt that is very important. Then the beginning part you should read also, because there are many sections that share the beautiful understanding of the Hui Ning's teaching. Hui Ning's teaching is very different from traditional Buddhist teaching. Traditional Buddhist teaching, they start with method, technique. Then they follow sutta. So that one is for the lower vehicle. Lower vehicle means they go through the training of the healer's thinking mind, the mundane mind. Then that whole process that they do, if they do without understanding, they cannot progress. They will get stuck. They will stagnate there. Well, these are all thought-based meditation. They teach you how to note, how to focus, how to concentrate, how to suppress, and all those things. But they don't teach you the understanding behind. Which means you are meditating, following instruction. You don't meditate with understanding. That's how you got trapped. Then they teach you how to verbalize, how to note, how to label, pain, rising, falling. You are verbalizing. When you verbalize, you cannot be in the state of sati. You cannot be in the meditative state. The silent mind cannot arise. Then they always ask you to look for things. Then you always, through knowledge, you recall through mind. Is this what the book say? Is this what my teacher say or the monk say? Is this impermanent? Is this suffering? Is this anatta or non-self, empty nature? So every time you experience something, your thought come in. Then your thought look for enlightenment. I want to be a sotapanna. I want to see all this better. So your mind is constantly chasing, trying to develop the meditation and the understanding. But this is using thought as an instrument to realize the enlightenment, which is beyond thought, is impossible. But the instrument you use itself is below what you are trying to understand or realize. So all the thought-based meditation cannot lead to awakening. That's the reason why the Buddha said under the third advice, avoid all evil, do good. First two advice, you can use thought. But purification of mind, the Buddha talked about mindfulness, sati and samadhi, no more thought. That's like the four foundation of mindfulness. You're supposed to be mindful. You don't use thought anymore. And there is no more effort involved. The other four right efforts are mainly centered on thought process, speech and action. So this understanding is very important. Then Huineng knew that there are two minds. One is the dependent originating or conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind, the thinking mind, that don't have the wisdom. And that one is karmically conditioned out for you to develop the meditation, the training, the understanding, and to go through life, to experience life. And because of that, people fail to separate that from their true mind. So they use that for all purpose. Meditate also use that thinking mind, mundane mind. Then live life also use that. Become emotional also use that. That's why that one accumulate all of the evil roots, that condition, their suffering, their wrong view and all those things. And that one cannot awaken, cannot understand. So Huineng's teaching is he takes you direct to your true mind, your true nature. He said you don't have to do all these things. You only need to understand the moment you are silent without thought, the true mind will manifest. And that one can insight into phenomena, that one can meditate, that one can understand what is going on. So this understanding to meditate is the reverse of what normal Buddhists do, all those thought-based meditation people do. So the result is very different, because the one taught by Huineng is a very direct teaching, taking you straight away to the true mind, your true nature. And when you understand this, awaken to this, realize this, all of the mundane creation created by your mundane mind, you will see them clearly, and the wisdom that arises through that understanding will no longer condition the form of mind to be deceived by the phenomenal world. Then the phenomenal world, the mundane mind, will know how to use it and live in accordance with the nature's law that governs the phenomenal world. That's why they will know how to take care of karma, because the form of mind is subject to karma. But the true mind that awakens with the understanding of the unconditioned, realize these are all not real. No mark. No mark of a self. No mark of others. No mark of life. No mark of Dhamma, all these things. Then they cannot get themselves entangled because that wisdom protects the form and mind. But the form and mind is subject to the conditioned world, nature's law, like law of karma. How your mind works, dependent origination, nature's truth, which is Dhamma, Niyama. So all this, you must have the ability to understand both aspects, the conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma, means the mundane Dhamma and the supramundane Dhamma. If you don't have both, you cannot cope, you cannot develop the understanding. And suffering will follow. That's how Huineng's teaching is very different, pointing direct to the true mind. Okay, so this is the part that I want to share. Then, if you got any question, you can ask. Anybody got any question? You can rejoice if you want to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because I realize a lot of Kayamita, they still not that sure about the cultivation. And I don't blame them because it's not easy. Unless you have been attentive, you have the faith, then you follow exactly the instruction that I have shared with you all. And all those who did that, they have connected. They have that understanding. But even after that, the more detailed cultivation to stabilize all this so that they can have the capacity to teach and to share still take time. That one still need quite a lot of cultivation. You need to stabilize that understanding until it's very, very stable. Then you will start to appreciate the book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, and how to establish your form and mind, so that in future, when it has to come or choose to come, you will have all this understanding. So you need to make the vow, the aspiration, take all the, what they call Bodhisattva vow, plant the seed of Bodhi until it's very clear, very stable. Then invoke power of merits for causes and conditions, for all this understanding to be there whenever you arise. Otherwise, when you arise, when the sasana is no more, you may not stand a chance. Just like what Brother Song during that Tuesday sharing said. Even now with the sasana around, if you don't have the understanding of this teaching taught by the Buddha, he said you look at the society outside. With the sasana also, so many heedless people with so much chaotic problem the world has. When the sasana is not there, it's worse. You dare not imagine how it will be like. So during that time, you don't stand a chance. Because when the sasana is there, you cannot develop the stability or understanding. When the sasana is no more, you really don't stand a chance. That's why this window is very important. Understand, make the aspiration, affirmation, so that all this right view, right understanding with regards to law of karma, law of mind, all the essential Dhamma, the affinity with all the great beings, the taking of refuge, the keeping of precepts and all those things. From the right view, with regards to the law of karma, all these teachings come, the Buddha shared with the world. And these are the important teaching and right view, the essential Dhamma that you must have life after life whenever you arise, the form and mind arise. Whether you've got sasana or no sasana, otherwise you don't stand a chance. Without sasana, there is the period of darkness. They call the Dhamma ending ages. 末法时节. So when the Dhamma completely gone, the world will be in a state of confusion, heedlessness. Then beings that take birth, follow their karma, will be drawn into that darkness, the age of darkness. So that time suffering is very, very intense, very severe. And it's very difficult for people to come out of samsara. You have to wait till the next cycle, the next sasana. Because if there is no sasana, there is no teaching. So if there is no teaching, unless you have your past cultivation and nature, the vow, that allow you to understand all this on your own whenever you arise, means the Bodhi mind strongly, firmly planted, you don't stand a chance. So this is what cultivator who have the understanding they will do. And the book that came out, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way, our blue book, is very important. As I read that one, understand it clearly and make those vows and aspiration. They inside there it even teach you how to break the karmic obstruction, how to vow for all this right view, right understanding of the essential Dhamma. So everything is there. Then the four basic vow, the three sets of pure precept, how to plant the seed of Bodhi, the Bodhi mind. All this has been explained, and even the cultivation has been expanded. When you have all this in place, technically, you don't need to do anything. All this vows, aspiration, the understanding that you have set in place, the affinity you have developed with all the great beings, the power of merits that you invoke to arise all these causes and conditions for all this to happen, they will take you along. Then the nature of all these great beings, because of your affinity, they will also guide you, protect you, bless you, so that every life you come, you are protected. You will have their blessing, protection, and guidance. And that's how you can progress. That's how you can become very different. Then this way, although appear very long, very tedious, very difficult, but when you understand, it is not difficult. And all this will become like automatic. It will just happen. So this understanding is very important. So make use of it. Okay, you got any question or anything you want to clarify? And also whatever Dhamma understanding of any aspect of the teaching or about life that you want me to explain, you can ask. The mind is with Mei Xiang. Oh, before I forget, if you don't have questions, we might let the host say a few words. Yeah, but he looked for his assistant again. Yeah, maybe let Mei Xiang and Wai Hong and Queenie say a few words. We are the other host. So Wai Hong delegate back to the wife.
Happy New Year, everyone. Happy New Year, Brother Teo.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Mrs. Teo. First of all, thank you, Brother Teo, for accepting our invitation to our house, Dana, on this New Year. Come something more today. So very wholesome and auspicious day, actually. So, and thank you everyone for coming and bringing food and jia papa as well.
And rejoicing.
So we hope that 2018 will be a year where everyone will be having more condition to practice and cultivate and realize, you know, whatever aspirations that everyone has made for the year to the best way possible.
Yeah, sadhu. Very good. Queenie sure got thing to say. Now she got so much joy. Yeah.
For coming to May's house, Dana.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm very thankful to Brother Till for teaching us the Dharma.
Because
why? At least we have a proper guidance.
Yeah, you know how to live life now.
More meaningful.
Yeah, more meaningful. And not like last time. Last time, all ignorant, delusion.
And we very aware of what we are currently doing.
Yes.
Whether it's right or
wrong. Yeah.
And we also can control our
temper. Yeah, this you decide your own life, your own emotion and all those things. Because you understand this teaching right view, that's why it becomes very different. When you have this, your life changes. Because what you do no longer violate the nature's law of karma. So do good because good, do evil because evil. That's how she developed all the joy, the understanding. Because she realized with this understanding, she can mold her life. Bring about changes to her life. Then she realized with this, she got so much happiness, so much joy, so much good condition. No more like last time, every time also got problem. Then worry. So the thought keep on creating wrong thought, sadness, problem. So now no more all this negativity, now clarity. Then very clear about what you do. Then you can decide. You no need to become last time. Panicky, emotional, fearful, worry, anger. So all these are evil root. She starts to understand. That's how a person change. When you know this is not conducive for your karma, it will bring about negativity of karma, repercussion from people, the world, then cause your karmic nature to fall. Then you will suffer. Where you reap what you sow, do good because good. Do evil because evil. Then you will change the way you live your life. You will cultivate right view, noble eightfold path, right speech, right thought, right action. Then you will develop all the wholesomeness, the joy. Then you make aspiration. Then everything she do is full of joy. Well, this is what she realized is very important in life. Sadhu, I rejoice with you. Continue. Yeah.
Actually, I also want to thank all the Kalai.
They are
all very friendly and helpful. And it's a joy to be
with them. Especially the spiritual trip, the Huining Six Patria pilgrimage trip. I saw her full of joy, especially together with Mrs. Ho, Madam Ho. And all the other Kalamita were so supportive of she and Madam Ho. At their age, they have this type of faith, despite their whatever handicap on the physical. They determined with joy. So everybody was actually motivated by their ability to still go that way. In fact, at their age, it's not easy for them to follow our pace. But they determined. And they can follow up a bit slow, but they follow up, especially the mountain routes and all those things. And you can see her and Mrs. Ho so full of faith, so full of this sadha virya, then the joy inside. Then good food. Wow, their appetite very good. Wow, the two of them, I remember, eat until. Then I say, without Mei Xiang, better, freedom. If Mei Xiang, maybe mom, this one cannot. But now Mei Xiang different. Now she knows she can have the understanding herself. She will let the mother do what she likes. And very supportive. And I was told by Yun Chan, she brought the mother into the Buddhist fold. Is it? You are the one who bring the mother in.
No, I brought them.
Ah, you brought them in. Ah, the other way round. Ah, so Yun Chai got it wrong. Yun Chai, he said he brought the daughter in.
I brought them.
Yeah. Means Yun Chai got it wrong. He thought the daughter was responsible for you.
I don't know why suddenly I went to join Buddhist UBV.
Oh, good.
Started to do chanting.
Yeah. Because of your past, pardon me, where you have this condition, your goodness. Then when they are also in, they set condition for you to meet up with the Kayamita and to join the community of Dhamma friends. Sadhu to you, very good.
Now I have a lot of Dhamma
Dhamma friends everywhere. And they are very helpful. Yeah. They are very sincere. So you need anything, you just call. They will be there. They will rejoice with all this. Because it is not easy to set example, to motivate an elderly person to really understand this teaching and have the understanding to live it. Not easy. And most of these elderly people, they find it so difficult to find the teaching. Then most of them don't encounter the right teaching. Then when they go to retreat, during the early day when I joined or other retreat, I saw they strive so hard, they were so willing to put in all the effort and all those things, but they don't have the right guidance. So because of that, it was a pity actually. And they always complain, how come at this age only I come to know about the teaching? Then they regret. They say, if I have known all this when I was young, I could have done so much more. Then a lot of them force themselves to sit through. It is like torturing themselves in the retreat. That's why when it's my turn to organize retreat or whole retreat, I always tell all the elderly ones, you don't have to sit, you don't have to cross your leg. Please, don't torture yourself unnecessarily. That's why I told Madam Ho, sit on a chair. Then, tired, go back and sleep. Don't worry. Then, do lying down meditation. You need to rest, you rest. Your body need rest. And at that age, unless your faith is very strong, your mind is very strong, you cannot push it. So, you can only push it to a certain limit based on your faith, your willpower to succeed and all the same. It's like Mahathir, you see Mahathir at 93. Because his willpower took him along. Without that willpower, he cannot be so physically so healthy. He can still do all those things with so much clarity of mind. And he can still be like so active. At this age, actually not easy, I tell you. Even after 80, also not easy. They're 93, still running around the whole country and apologizing to all the citizens for what he has done when he was the Prime Minister for the last 22 years. So not easy. That one need mental will power. Therefore, all us, the Buddhists, we need to have faith. When you have faith, everything is possible. Like what you can see from Queenie's case, Madam Ho's case, and even some of the Kayamita, 70 plus, like Gumoy, they all. Their faith are very strong. And sometimes they can even endure and walk better than most younger Kayamita. So this is what that willpower, that faith can bring about the resolve to go this way. And you have this type of mind, you will be successful in whatever you do, whether spiritual or they call it ambition, and whatever that you want to achieve or realize, you can, but through the understanding, through the faith, through your resolve, determination. Very good. Sadhu to you. Can you sadhu? You got any other thing?
I want
sadhu. Good health.
Longevity.
Yeah, sadhu. So this type of good mind state will bring forth the friction. Then she will also have the good mind, good health, and longevity. So these are very good. We should rejoice together. Sadhu. Mi Sam keep on pointing the mic to Hui Hong. You must say something because your wife and your mother-in-law also say something. Don't worry, you are the host. You can talk about whatever. Express from your heart, Hui Hong. Just express sincerely what you want to do. You want to thank people. You want to share whatever you experience. You can even talk about your marathon experience. Push it out.
Well, I want to say there is a right. So,
okay.
So we just want to summarize. Thank you, everyone.
And
Happy New Year.
That remind me of a function. This particular chairman, he was asked to deliver a speech because after the CEO all delivered already, so everybody was waiting for him. He smiled. He said, "Okay, I will deliver a speech." Then he went out slowly. He took the mic. He said, "I am a man of few words." Then he said, like Wei Hong, what you need to hear, the CEO, everybody has already said. I think I better end with a thank you because the food, the food has waited too long. I think most of you are hungry. Can we proceed with the dinner? So sometimes it depends. If you really don't have anything to say, it's because you have not developed the confidence to share, to express it. But this thing can be developed. First time you share, maybe the word like not smoke, don't worry, just try it. Then you will learn. Then the next time, because after you try the first time, you go back, you will reflect and contemplate. Oh, why do I still panic? Then you will start to develop understanding. Then you listen to what other people say. Then you come out with your own, you modify. Then later on when you have the understanding, you will come to realize all this flow naturally from your heart because you have the understanding and you are sincere. And it just come out. Then you become very different. You all heard my wife sharing on the 19th December. She was also very shy. They not say anything, they not speak. They say, every time somebody suggests, Mrs. Steele gives a, like that already, straight away. But finally, when she shared, it was so good, so beautiful. So profound, some of her. So that one give her confidence now. Now she dare to speak out more. So, as Kayamita, we learn from each other, understand? That's why we are here as fellow Kayamita, means co-cultivator, Dhamma friend, friends of the Dhamma, who believe in the same teaching, walk the path of Dhamma. So we are here to support, counsel, motivate, and help each other along the path, because we are sincere. That's why all this sincerity, understanding, will have the condition to express itself. Then you will show example for others. Then you develop the confidence. Especially the faith. When you start to see other Kayamita becoming serious and progressing very well, most of them, I realize, will become like very different than they determined. I have seen a lot of Kayamita now, when they pay respect to Buddha, Kuan Yin, they become so different. They make aspiration, they make determination. And I remember one video I sent out last time, the duckling, you remember? All the duckling. Initially, nobody dared to climb the staircase. The duckling was so small. The staircase is 6 inches high. So I think 2-3 times taller than the duckling. So like we are 5 feet something, I ask you to climb 3 times the height, 18 feet wall, you think you can climb? No ladder, nothing. You cannot climb. But then suddenly when they saw one duckling succeed, this duckling struggled and suddenly succeed, went out. But the best was the mother duck. He didn't even worry about what they do. Whether they succeed or not, he you know what the duck do? When got water that time, he flicked the wing and shake his tail, her tail. Then she just walk around. Then somehow one of the ducklings went out. After that one went up, the rest were motivated. Then they tried very hard. Then another one went up. Another one went up. Then towards the later part, all of a sudden, a few simultaneously went out. Then the balance, very fast they also go out. Then got one last one struggling. Finally he make it. But the mother duck didn't even want to do anything. He just let them do it what they supposed to do. Then after all up, then the mother duck take them across the road. So that was a very nice video. It shows how they get motivated by what others are able to do. So when you have faith, you will be motivated. And when you are with Dhamma friends, is the right people, you will develop the right virtue, the right training. That's why the people whom you associate with are very important. That's the reason why the Buddha put in the aspiration after the whatever sharing. It mina punyang kamina, you remember? Ma me bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawan ivana patiya. You must understand what this aspiration is. He said, it mina punyang. Punyang is your merit. By the power of all this merit, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to always associate with the wise, avoid the foolish and the heedless, so that Nibbana can be realized sooner possible. So you mix with the heedless, the unwise, the foolish, you will have problem, because who you associate with is very important. You associate with the wise, the successful, the kind people, you will learn how to become like them. They will influence you, and similarly you will influence them. But if both have the Dhamma, you will support each other, motivate each other, and bring forth the beautiful Kayamita family. Then as a group, the Kayamita force can be a force to be reckoned, because not only you, all Kayamita are like that. Then when we are together, traveling on spiritual trip, going for a retreat, or attending house, dana, everything, the wholesomeness is beyond your imagination. The limitless type of merits that can arise from all this. That there are some who has the Dhamma without you knowing. Then like the Buddha said, the Aryan Sangha, when you do 4 things, they are worthy of respect, offering, then give, and hospitality. And the field of merits that arise from all this action are limitless, immeasurable. So this is how merits can be developed. And this type of merit are not ordinary dana. Understand? If you make offering to ordinary cultivator, you still have merits. But when you have condition to make offering to Triple Gem, especially to those who have the Dhamma, the field of merit is different. It also depends on your faith, your understanding, your whatever sincerity. Then all this will bring forth the causes and conditions for you to rejoice, then to move. And when you invoke power, merits of all this goodness, wholesomeness, your nature becomes different. That's why you can progress very fast. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation. So do not look down upon all this small thing. That's why you learn to have gratitude towards fellow Kayaramita. Because of them, you are what you are. Because of you, they are what they are. So there is this synergy. And most of the time when you are with Kayaramita, even you have problem, they are willing to listen and advise you. Then most of them will tell you how not only you, they before also have this problem, and they were able to come out of it was because they have the Buddha Dhamma, nothing difficult. So all this is going to change your life, change the way you understand things. So even as a Kayaramita, you are new or what, you have problem or issue, don't be shy. You find which are the one you can click with, you can talk to, then you can discuss all this with them. Then they will know how to help you. The worst case is if they cannot handle, they will say, you go and see Brother Dio. Then you get to see me. But most of the time now, unless very difficult case or very chronic case, I seldom receive all this anymore. In the early day a lot, Kayaramita also come out many. Then later on, I somehow, after I share already, then some of them learn. Then they put it into our chanting book or something. So now all this understanding is there. So for normal case, they know how to help them. So I don't have to see all these people anymore. Then later on they say, you want to learn more, you attend the class, you listen to the recording, you take the transcript book, you go and read. And that's how they benefited. Okay, very good. 2:30. So anybody got any more questions? Otherwise we can end. We already had 1.5 hours. Just now was 1:15 almost. So another 10 minutes maybe. Anybody got anything to add or any question? You can ask. So far I think you have enough Dhamma. The teaching is all there. It's a matter of how you make use of it. That's why I developed the faith. Like Song that they share, he said the faith is very important. I fully agree, 100%. Because of my faith in my teacher last time, I was able to understand a lot of the sharing. When they share, it's very general. It's just some truth that they find that is useful or important. But the moment my nature listens because of the faith, I develop the understanding very fast. So faith is very important, sadha. Then asking for forgiveness is also very important. With that one, break your karmic obstruction. Then after that, determine not to repeat all those negative way of living life. That one is very important. So when you determine not to do it, means you are a true disciple of the Buddha. You are following the advice of the Buddha. So at least to be worthy of him, you must at least follow his advice to avoid all evil, to good, and purify the mind. And that is what the meditation is all about. When you cultivate the ability to avoid all evil, to good, you already take care of karma. You already apply the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then to prevent the arising of all the wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong thought. Then you apply the right effort to cultivate the virtue, the goodness, the kindness, the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then you have the ability to arise the right effort to refine upon all this right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. them, perfect them all. And when you do that, the first six path factor you already fulfill. Then to purify the mind, you have to train your mind to be mindful, ever mindful. That's like samasati. Then stabilize it to become samasamadhi. So when you have sati and samadhi stabilized, you can see things as they are. You can insight into phenomena. You can develop the wisdom. You can awaken. And this is how the whole cultivation and practice will fall into place. And these are very direct teaching. So, through all this simple understanding, you make your cultivation step by step. And what you need is faith, sadha, virya. Then the virya will give rise to condition for you to cultivate sincerely, with diligence. That's why you need to have sincerity, faith, and diligence. These three things will pave the way, and it will bring forth the Dhamma. So not difficult. Then, of course, the more detailed understanding of the cultivation, as you go through, you will know how to ask the appropriate question. Then I realized, since the end of last year, I have been sharing those deeper aspects of the cultivation. Some of the Kayamitas are ready, and they are starting to ask all these relevant questions. They say the condition arise. So listen to all the recent recording, they are very useful. Then whatever that is in the Heart Sutta note, and cultivating the Bodhisattva way, that book, you should review it every now and then. Every time you review it, let's say 3 months or 6 months, every time you review it, you will come to understand that your understanding is different now. Then things that you never understand in the past when you read, you start to understand. Then there is so much joy. It's like unending. Then the more you develop the understanding, the more joy you will have, because you will understand the same teaching that is being shared at a different level. Because these are the teachings that cater for all level of cultivators. So as you have this understanding, you will go through the teaching again. The understanding will be different again. Then you penetrate differently, very deeply. Then you have a lot of joy. After that, you are not the same like before. Then later on, you can actually help other new Kayanamita by telling them, yeah, you must go through, be sincere, have the faith, then develop the virya, the diligence, then persevere, just cultivate, develop the sati, stabilize it, then cultivate the four right effort, constantly purify yourself. Then like Queenie also, constantly improve your own life through all this understanding. Then you will find a lot of joy, a lot of understanding. And all this will bring forth the great transformation in your life. Because when you follow the advice of the Buddha, your life becomes beautiful. Your life becomes like very blessed, full of good merits. And the negative karmic condition not there. Your negative karma, unless it's very severe, cannot arise. Where you don't allow the condition to manifest. But the moment you react to situation, to whatever happened negatively, then you arise the causes and condition for negative karmic conditioning to come. Because your mind has become heedless. Your mind has developed negativity. That's the reason why when problem hit, then you react and become fearful, unhappy, miserable, then get angry. All this evil root create condition for your past negative karma to arise some more. That's why you continuously have problem. Then you have to pay back a lot of things. But if you are a cultivator, every time this sign comes, like one or two of the signs, like things are not smooth already, you straight away will be very, very mindful. Means the condition for negative karma may arise. Then you will be very, very careful. Then after that, you determine to be mindful, to check. Then you need to reverse all this, ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness. Then you need to cultivate merits, you make offering donation. Then you dedicate all these merits for causes and conditions, for all this to be amicably resolved. Then you realize it subsides. Yeah, you didn't react, you didn't create negative conditions. That's how you will be able to have the understanding to live life. And your life will change, really change. Become so beautiful. Otherwise, you keep on having problem, I tell you. Because you keep on reacting and becoming unhappy. Then, when you have a lot of these negative thoughts, you not only not happy with yourself, you will not be happy with a lot of other people. Sometimes you are not happy with your own children, with your own neighbor, your in-law. Sometimes your grandchildren also, you're not happy. Why? Because the mind develops negativity. And these are the karmic things that you have to go through. So you don't ask for forgiveness for the karmic obstruction to be watered down or to be resolved. Then they have condition, they will arise. And when they arise, you don't have the dhamma, you will be afflicted. Then you go down, you become heedless. And when you become heedless, this negative condition more negative karma. That's why you continuously get into problem. Then you say, how come people so blessed, so lucky? They are so blessed, so lucky, not because they pray very hard. It's because they have lived their life in accordance. So if you are heedless, you simply live your life and do things negatively. Karma will hit back. And all these people got their problem. There is this cycle. In fact, a lot of all those people who get into trouble came and shared with me when they have big problems. One of them was a very successful businessman last time, and he don't believe in all this dhamma thing. He only believe in feng shui, what they call fortune telling, and all the charm and all those things. And what happened was, during the recession, he was completely wiped out. Then he ended up, the karma became so negative, he was so sweet. He not only lost everything he made, he even owed the bank about 40 million of that. So he went bankrupt. Then he couldn't believe what happened. So that time he contemplated suicidal thought and all. Then finally, I think the wife was the one that brought her to Champaka Buddhist Lodge. I was teaching meditation there. Then he initially tried to listen, but he can't. Nothing can go in because of his problem. Then after that, he realized the way I share is different. So he decided to, every session, every Saturday, sit at the back of the hall, listen attentively, and make note. Because a lot of these new dhamma things are new to him. He spent 3 months doing that. After the 3 months only, he take his notebook. That day, after the 3 months, he put up his hand after my sharing to ask questions. Then after that, he see me with all the notes. He said, Brother Theo, thank you so much. I said, why? He said, because I didn't understand there is such a teaching. That's how I get into big trouble. Because I explained how feng shui, all these things, can never decide your life. What decide your life is karma. If you don't take care of karma, you try everything. And that was precisely what happened to him. When he was hit by the recession, he go and see all the feng shui master, the fortune teller. Nothing will become worse. Then he get angry, more miserable. Then more karma come. He said, soy until, in his own word, he said, you don't believe, he said, like everything is against you until it's so terrible, so miserable. That's how he went through. And he asked me one question. He said, because of what you say, he said, is it too late for me to change? I said, no. The moment you change, your life will turn around. And really, you know, after that, they start to change. They start to, of course, very difficult to keep precept. People like them drink and especially right speech, very difficult one. Then don't tell lie, also very difficult. Don't partake in toxicant, also very difficult. But he determined, then he changed. Then after that, he helped out in the temple. Then many things happened. Then he turned around. And now all his debt clear, bankruptcy also clear. Then everything go his way now. That's why he was full of gratitude. Full of what they call, appreciativeness. When you have gratitude, you appreciate what people have done to help you and everything. So he is now doing a lot of good things. He's helping out in many areas. Okay, then we should end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will do, yes. Oh, sadhu, sadhu, thank you. We will, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will rejoice with the offering, and I will offer it to Kanyamita Fan. Where is Stephanie? Around. Sui An also not around. Thank you to Yun Chan. You pass to Stephanie, you're a good friend. Oh, yeah. I pass to my wife. So they say, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we really rejoice with the good generosity, the condition for all Kanyamita to partake in this very, very auspicious wholesome. I didn't know it was a chapgo. I only know that it was a new year. So if it coincides with the 15th day of the lunar calendar, then it's really auspicious. Because the full moon and the new moon, they are very auspicious day. You know why or not? Because when the moon is near, the tide, everything is different. So new moon and full moon, they call it the uposat day. Even the in-between, between 1 and 15, 15 and the 30th, in-between they call it the uposat day. So these are the days they take it as auspicious, wholesome. So if you are a monk, you're supposed to emit your whatever, like monk's rules that you undertake to abstain or to keep. But if you have violated them, you're supposed to, on this uposat day, they will meet together with the senior monk. You're supposed to admit your mistake. So if it's a minor rule, they will give you some form of, I don't call it punishment. It's something like very light discipline. Ask them to repent, but sometimes they send you to some island in the lake where you cannot come out. You go and repent there. But got people send you food on. Last time my teacher Ajayantra, I went there. It was a floating temple, sala, floating sala. It's a dam, actually. A dam, very big dam. Then you have to go there by motorboat on. So no motorboat unless you can swim. You cannot come out of the island. But food will be delivered to you. Then you repent. But if it's a major offense, they ask you to disrobe. So it's more strict because the community of Sangha, the Buddha set out, they have all these rules. So all this, as a lay cultivator, you should be serious about all these rules because major offense, you cannot break the moment you break. You disqualify yourself even to wear the robe. So, as a lay practitioner, we are given more freedom. We don't have a sangha to, on uposatha day to go around asking you, have you violated any precept? Then you should admit ask for forgiveness. Then if it's minor, they will, like Yun Chan say, they will ask you to repent. or some form of minor punishment. Sometimes they ask you, the Mahayana monk, they ask you to kneel in front of the Buddha and chant the Buddha's name for how many thousand times. You remember that the Faku son, the recently passed away, Sen Yen Fasi, in his that book, The Method or No Method, he mentioned what? His master, you know, asked him to bow in front of Kuan Yin how many thousand times? Oh. Because he cannot remember the sutta. Just because he cannot remember the sutta, he asked him to bow in front of the Kuan Yin. Oh, don't know how many thousand times. That's funny, you know.
500 times.
Yeah, lah. Afternoon and evening. And don't know for how long. Then after that, his memory come back. Funny. I think he make aspiration, I don't know what. Yeah, he said, it's crazy, he said, at that time. How to memorize? He said, all the sutta, everything. Oh, but the teacher, master want him to memorize. So that type of punishment is good. It's not a punishment. It's actually to motivate you, to cultivate. So do it yourself. So like Xuan Hua said, to be his devotee, you must bow at least 10,000 bow within 3 months. So now, any offense you break, you got to bow yourself 10,000 bow within 1 month now. I tell you, your mindfulness will improve very fast. No. The 5-point prostration can already. You just bow until the body and mind become one. And you will know what. The form and mind will know what. That's why last time when he asked us to do where we all take refuge, my whole family there, then I did in 2 months. Towards the 2 months, before I finished the 10,000 bow, I realized my mindfulness, every time I do that, initially I got the chant, Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo, then bow. Then mindfully come out. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Mo Ni Fo, bow, then come out. Then later on, the word also disappeared. Just like that. Like nobody doing. Then I realize, how come my body and my mind move as one? That everything I do, I'm in sati. Oh. That's why you must do. Don't try to know when you do. Just do. Do until the sati come. Your form and mind that is experiencing it will know what sati is. Then that time I realize, hey, sati is not what the book say. No word one. No need to note one. Silent. When you are silent, you are already in sati. Why you want to, they say, train your mind to be in sati. Practice to be mindful. Who practice? The thought practice. When the thought practice, it become active. How can it be in sati? That's why there is no practice. I realize, the moment I am silent, without thought, I already in sati. That's why the Buddha standing away, walking away. No word. Like Wendy just now shared when he was in the Tibetan high altitude, he just practiced mindfulness, walking, silent, no word, just walk. Then he said, got stamina, everything calm, no signal, nothing, no need to take all the altitude pill, all those things. That's why you must have faith and just do, then silent, just aware. And the awareness will build up your mind. It becomes very different, I tell you. Yeah, when you are in sati, you don't dissipate your energy. You know what is dissipate? You lose it, isn't it? Lose it through what? Do you know, after you think a lot or study a lot, you need a lot of food or not? You become very hungry. Last time I studied, I know. But you use a lot of thinking process. This is where your energy dissipate. When you think a lot, you dissipate a lot of energy. That's why you look at a lot of all those monks who are already very, very well known. Most of them are fed on it. Yeah, they don't use energy. You look at Achan Buddhadasa. Last time Achan Cha also. Then this Achan, the one that smiled, Achan Ganha. He also round face one. But when he go to Tanga, he slim down again. And he come back, because they don't waste their energy. They don't think, they hardly think. That's why most of the time I don't need food. But if I eat food, I also will go out. I seldom consume energy. In the sense that I have enough reserve for me to do some physical work. Understand? That's why you all ask me to go and walk. I can walk once a week. But after that, I drain the physical energy. Then my wife know. I normally fall sick after that. But nowadays, I'm very careful. Before I fall sick, I know already. I don't want to drain any more energy. Because if I don't do anything throughout the day, I don't need energy. I don't think. My thought energy are not dissipated. Well, most of the time, my nature is just aware and with the true mind. And the nature just shine for that. When I need to use it to live life, then only I arise the thought. That's why the mind that is trained, you remember, listen to you. When you want it to be silent, you will be silent. And that is the training. If you cannot do that, means your mind is still heedless. You are not trained. Then if you want it to be aware, it's just aware, specific phenomenal awareness. Then you want it to be at the moment of consciousness, at the moment of seeing, at the moment of whatever. You will just do that. Yeah, that is the trained mind. And this trained mind is very beautiful. You want it to arise a thought, to reflect, to contemplate. You will just do that. Means it serves you. Whereas the heedless mind, you want to stop thinking to have peace, also you cannot. Understand? You find it, want to sleep also cannot. They got insomnia. It don't listen to you. Then you say stop thinking. All your memory keep on arising. So this is what a heedless mind is. But the mind that is trained, which is heedful, is the opposite. It serves you. It listens to you. You can use it. It's a tool for you to use. That's why it's very beautiful. The trained mind is peaceful, quiet, silence, still, just aware, nothing inside there. The untrained mind thinks a lot, like a devil's workshop. You know what's a devil? Devil means very, very naughty, very cruel. So he makes use of your mind like a workshop. He do what he likes inside there. So when you are heedless, you really at their mercy. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merit and transfer of merits. So let us recall to mind all of the wholesomeness that we have developed and cultivated over the past 2 to 3 hours. Then we shall dedicate and share all these merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata Chabumata Deva Naga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Etawata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Inyang meya tinang hotu Sukita hontu nyatayo Imina punyang kamina Mebala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadu Okay, now pay respect mindfully to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. Then we end.